Welcome to An Encouraged Heart. This is Cynthia, and thank you for joining me for Bible study. Currently, we are studying Jesus, listening for his voice. This study covers Mark chapter 7 through 13 and is a continuation of the previous study, Jesus experiencing his touch. And that study covers Mark chapters 1 through 6. If you are new to my podcast, I encourage you to go back and listen to not only the last Bible study, but several others that I hope will be a blessing to you. And just so you know, you can find the following Bible studies on my podcast: Living Victoriously in Difficult Times, Being a Disciple, Counting the Real Cost, Loving God and Others, The Heart of True Faith, and Jesus Experiencing His Touch. You can purchase any one of the Bible study workbooks by simply going online to Precept Ministries. The books are part of Precept's 40-minute Bible study series. I have included a link to their website in the description section of each episode. Also, you will notice as I read through the text, I will ask you to mark keywords and phrases. This method of Bible study allows us to carefully observe the text so that we can more effectively understand and interpret God's Word. And now, please open your Bibles and join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you again for this opportunity to come together to study your word. I pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts. Help each of us, Lord, to share your word. Guide us, Lord, to those who do not know you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your workbook, please turn to page 36. We're going to study Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. And we have to mark every reference to Jesus. We're going to also put a pitchfork over each occurrence of spirit, including pronouns. We're going to also mark the word belief with an open book symbol. And we're going to also mark unbelief with an open book symbol. And we're going to add a slash through that symbol. Okay, let me repeat that. So the markings we're doing today, we're going to mark Jesus with a cross. We're going to mark the word spirit with a pitchfork. We're going to mark the word belief with an open book symbol. And we're going to mark unbelief with the same open book symbol. But this time we're going to add a slash through that open book for unbelief. Okay? So we're going to begin with, of course, verse 14. And it says, when they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, mark him, for Jesus, they were amazed and began running up to greet him, mark him. And he asked them, Marquis, what are you discussing with them? Of course, Marquis, in verse 16, verse 17, and one of the crowd answered him, mark him, for Jesus, teacher, Mark, teacher, of course, referring to Jesus. I brought you my son, so mark you for Jesus, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. So mark spirit, of course, with a pitchfork. And whenever it seizes him, so mark it for the spirit, it slams him to the ground and he foams at the mouth. So mark that word it again, of course, with a pitchfork, and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out. So mark your for Jesus, mark it, referring to the spirit, and they could not do it. And he answered them and said, so mark he for Jesus, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? Mark I for Jesus, how long shall I put up with you? Mark I for Jesus, bring him to me, mark me for Jesus. They brought the boy to him, so mark him. When he saw him, mark he again for Jesus, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, so mark spear with a pitchfork, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, so Marquis for Jesus, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. Verse 22, it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. So mark it with a pitchfork. But if you can do anything, mark you for Jesus, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, mark Jesus, if you can, mark you for Jesus, all things are possible to him who believes. So mark the word believes with an open book symbol. Verse 24, immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. So you're marking believe with an open book and believe with an open book with a slash. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, so mark Jesus, he rebuked the unclean spirit. So mark he for Jesus, mark the unclean spirit, saying to it, mark it, of course, referring to the unclean spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, so mark you, mark spirit with a pitchfork. I command you, so mark I for Jesus, mark you for the spirit. Come out of him and do not enter him again. After crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out, mark it, referring to the spirit, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. So mark Jesus, when he came into the house, a marquee for Jesus, his disciples began questioning him privately. Mark his, mark him for Jesus. Why could we not drive it out? So mark it, referring to the unclean spirit. And he said to them, marquee for Jesus, this kind, so I would say this kind should be marked with the pitchfork, cannot come out by anything but prayer. Let me repeat that. Verse 29. And he said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Okay, we had quite a few markings, so I'm going to go back, as always, and reread the text without interruption. So again, starting in verse 14, when they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, what are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground and foams at the mouth, and he grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it. And he answered them and said, oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. They brought the boy to him. When he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, it began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. Okay, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. After crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. When he came into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately, why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Okay, so there was a lot happening in that passage. We're going to go through questions to look at what's happened more carefully. So the first question is, according to the text, when did this event occur? What had James, Peter, and John seen just before this? Well, James, Peter, and John had just come down from the mountain where they had witnessed Jesus transfigured. They also saw Elijah and Moses talking to Jesus, and they also heard the voice of God, the Father, saying, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." So they were witnesses to three miracles. What they experienced could only have been revealed to them by the Lord. Okay, moving on to the next question on page 37. It says, give a brief overview of what happens in the passage. There's quite a lot that happened, so bear with me, please. It says, first of all, that we know that the disciples returned from the mountain. They saw a large crowd that had gathered and noticed that some scribes were arguing. Once the crowd saw Jesus, they were amazed and began running to greet him. Jesus wanted to know what they were discussing, and someone from the crowd emerged, calling Jesus teacher, also saying that he brought his son with him who was possessed by spirit, and he described to Jesus what happens whenever the boy is overtaken by the spirit. He went on to tell Jesus that the disciples were not able to cast out the spirit. We also read in verse 19 that Jesus rebukes the disciples. And let me read verse 19. And it says here, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. Okay, that was verse 19. Also, we read that, of course, we just read the boy was brought to Jesus, and the father continued to describe to Jesus what happens to his son when the spirit seizes him. Later in the passage, of course, we read that Jesus commands a spirit by name to come out of the boy and never to return. In the final verses, we also read about the interchange between Jesus and the disciples. The disciples asked Jesus why they were not able to drive out the spirit. And Jesus responds, of course, in verse 29, and he says that this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Okay. The next question says, this is the last account in Mark of Jesus and the disciples encountering demon possession. Move through the text and discuss what you learn from marking the references to the spirit that possessed this young boy. Well, in verse 17, we know the boy was possessed and the spirit made him mute. Verse 18 says the spirit seizes the boy, slams him to the ground. The boy foams at the mouth. He grinds his teeth. He stiffens. And we also know in verse 18 that the disciples were not able to cast out that spirit. In verse 20, we also read the spirit threw the boy into a convulsion when the boy was brought to Jesus, and the boy began falling and rolling on the ground. And the father also tells Jesus in verse 21 that this has been happening since the boy, since he was a child. Also, verse 22, the father tells Jesus that the spirit throws the boy into the fire, trying to destroy him. In verse 25, we know that Jesus called out the spirit by name and commanded it to leave the boy, never to return. Also, in verse 26, we saw more physical manifestations of the unclean spirit in the boy. And that, again, was in verse 26. Again, it says, after crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out. So there was that deliverance there in verse 26. And as I stated earlier, the disciples asked Jesus why they were not able to cast out that spirit. And Jesus again said, this cannot happen apart from prayer. Okay, so that is my response to question 3. And question 4 says, what do you learn from the dialogue in verses 22 through 24, specifically in regard to marking belief and unbelief? Was this a matter of power or of faith? Okay. In verse 22, the Father's asking Jesus if he can do anything, take pity on them and help them. The Father, of course, was clearly desperate. Jesus responds, as we read in verse 23, which says, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. So the question, if you can, that's a rhetorical question. Jesus was saying, of course I can. All things are possible to him who believes. The boy's father cried out that he believed that Jesus can deliver his son, but he still had some doubt. He was being honest, and he asked Jesus to help his unbelief. So in this passage, we clearly see that Jesus demonstrated his power and authority, of course, to cast out the spirit. The man, I believe, needed to have faith that his son could be set free by Jesus. The latter part of verse 23 says, again, all things are possible to him who believes. Okay, so I believe it was a matter of faith because Jesus, of course, has the power and authority to cast out demons, but the man needed that faith to believe. Question 5 says, in Mark 1 and 6, we are told that Jesus went off on his own to pray. Mark 6 also tells us that Jesus gave the disciples authority to cast out evil spirits, and that they did. Read again in Mark 9:29, Jesus' answer to the disciples when they asked why they could not cast out the spirit. What do his words reveal? So Mark 9:29 says, and he said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. So here, I believe these words of Jesus tells us, again, the importance of prayer. We must completely be dependent upon him and his power to work in the lives of people as we intercede on their behalf. And of course, when we petition the Lord for our own needs. Okay, and the last two questions are related, so I will read those questions together and also respond in a combined answer. It says here, when we pray, what does it show in respect to our relationship to God? Who are we depending on? And the final question says, how does this apply to your life today? Prayer is, of course, how we communicate with the Lord. When we go to him in prayer, it shows that we have put our trust in him alone and that we are confident that he will answer according to his will. So we trust his will. We must be completely reliant on him. I am going to conclude our study for today. I pray that today's lesson was a blessing to you. If so, I encourage you to share this Bible study with a friend. And if you would like to share your thoughts on today's verses, please leave a comment wherever you listen to An Encouraged Heart. For those of you who are new listeners, you can find An Encouraged Heart on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Spotify, and several other social media platforms. You can even ask Alexa to play An Encouraged Heart on Apple Podcast. Take care, and I look forward to you joining me next time. God bless.